Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. Today I speak to Advait Gupp. He's the founder of Sapari Studios, an award-winning digital content studio. They help brands build scalable, immersive content to Gen Y and Gen Z audiences online. And over the past 7 years, they've produced over 450 projects that have been viewed by over 500 million times online for brands such as Red Bull, Google, Estee Lauder, and Twitter. In this episode, he talks about creating content at scale, how they manage the creative and business side of things, and you also learn how to grow your own content on YouTube. He also talks about the streaming wars in India, and he finally talks about creating a Simpsons-type animation show and working with one of India's biggest rappers, Divine. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Advait. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thanks so much for having me over, Neil.
So yeah, let's go back to the very start then. How did you get things going?
So it's an interesting story, actually. I started my career in finance. The first job that I ever did was that of a DJ. I used to do that for pocket money when I was 14 and 15. I used to play at 10-year-olds' birthday parties and started sort of, you know, exploring opportunities over there. But as I grew older, finance was something that really sort of took to my interest. And I started my career in finance at 21. I was working for an investment bank in Bombay. And then moved to the VC side, where I was investing in digital assets and sort of understanding the entire digital landscape. This was around 2010, 2011. It was around that time that my younger brother had just come back from film school. He was 22 at the time and was finding it very hard to be taken seriously, you know, in the whole sort of creative landscape. But what he wanted to do was basically sort of build out content in this space. I had just about quit my job at that point in time, primarily or initially with the intent of actually studying for my MBA. But what so happened is that both of us, jobless as we were at that point in time, decided to sort of collaborate on a short film project together. Mm-hmm. We entered that short film into a contest, which we won. And that led to us buying our first iMac. And we literally bootstrapped our business from there.
So, I mean, quitting your job, you know, must have been tough to walk away from that then.
It wasn't really actually that tough. I hated my job. I think it was a pretty easy decision from that point of view. I think what was tough was to sort of identify what next and trying to sort of really align your passions with something that could potentially sort of pay your bills. Mm-hmm. And it took a while, but what we realized very quickly is to sort of focus on the things that we loved. Yeah. And money would follow. And that's essentially, I think, the way, you know, life has panned out for us.
Was there like a specific moment that you decided to quit?
I mean, I think so, you know, from the time I was about 16 or 17, given you know, most traditional Indian setups, my schooling and the counselors in my school always guided me towards, you know, subjects like engineering and medicine and law. Finance was obviously a close second. So it was one of the options that had come up, and I was told of this thing called an investment banker and a venture capitalist. And it just sounded extremely sexy, and I just jumped onto that bandwagon, you know, obviously driven by films like Wolf of Wall Street and other things that make it any easier. But essentially, you know, sort of driven by the opportunity to be able to sort of grow quickly, at least economically, you know, was something that was very exciting when I started off. But by the time I was 25, I was already doing what I thought I would want to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But I was very, very unhappy. Mm-hmm. You know, I was working crazy hours, leading a very unhealthy life, and generally not doing things that I was very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I think that just led to me, you know, quitting my job. There was no specific incident. It just sort of boiled down to, you know, maybe me getting to a point where I was questioning what I was doing with my life. It still started off with the intent of doing something exceptionally traditional, which was doing an MBA, because mm-hmm. that is typically in India the answer to, you know, all of life's decisions. But I think somewhere down the line, I just got a chance to sort of start creating some content. That short film was, I think, a turning point in our lives. It was a very gradual process. It wasn't like a typical quintessential inciting incident, but yeah, it was a gradual process of maybe a few months of soul searching, and realizing that this and video content and filmmaking was something that was exciting, and I just sort of started channelizing my energies from there, and I think that passion project has not ended as yet.
I mean, when you spoke to your brother then initially, how did that conversation go then? Was he fully on board with it, or did he have to take some persuasion?
So no, actually, it was the other way around. So he was a filmmaker, so he was sort of freelancing in the advertising and filmmaking community here in Bombay. And what he was struggling with, except at that point in time, was that people weren't taking him very seriously. So he felt that some people will take him a little more seriously if he has a business card and a logo by his name. So he actually came to me and said, could you just help me out with a couple of Excel sheets and putting together my logo and business card, because I know you do this kind of stuff, being on the VC side and all that. So could you kind of help me out here? And that's basically how it started off. So, a few 100 spreadsheets and PowerPoint slides later, we set up Safari Studios. So I think that it was more of a function of the fact that there were very complementary skill sets between the two of us. He being far more tilted towards the creative side, and me being more tilted towards the analytical side. But both of us sort of using our core competencies to the best possible use, but at the same time having a common vision to doing something creative, doing something fun, and doing something that could potentially have a deeper impact amongst a wider community. So I think that was basically what sort of got us together.
And let's talk about current projects then. I believe you're working on a Simpsons type based animation. It sounds exciting.
We were like, why not build out something that could be exciting, that is not necessarily aligned to a brand, but something that we can sort of create on our own. And we realized that the animated space is something that is completely untapped. So this is still a project that is in the works. It's not yet launched. It's a project that we are building in a very dystopian world. It's called Shakaharis. It's built in Shakaharis, as you may know, it means vegetarian in Hindi. And it's essentially built in this dystopian world where humans have gotten extinct and animals have taken over. And they're basically sort of trying to sort of find their feet in a society that is actually very similar to the kind of society we're in today, and dealing with a lot of challenges of double standards that do exist. So this is a project that is still in production. We're really hoping that we can sort of get this off the ground in a couple of months, and we're working on it, and hopefully will be India's first young adult animated series.
Is it a satire, a comedy, drama?
It's a political satire. It's a socio-political satire, yes.
Have you come up with any characters yet?
We do have four characters. They're a group of vigilantes who are basically the most commonly eaten meat. So it's a cow, a goat, a chicken, and a pig. And they come together to form a group of, so they're crime-fighting vigilantes that are essentially sort of trying to save their people from the atrocities that are being committed in their society.
How's your sort of experience of animation then?
So it's a very young space in India. There's a huge following for anime as well as other genres in India. We have a Comic-Con oriented audience that is growing very, very quickly in this country, and there's huge following for everything from Star Wars to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There isn't too much content that is sort of coming out of this country, and we just felt that maybe there's an opportunity now for us to be able to sort of build something that is meaningful, that is relatable, and current. So that's the thought process. I mean, it kind of stems from the fact that we are also consumers of this content. So we just try ultimately, and it kind of plays out to a large extent of whatever we do, that we'd like to sort of create content that is the kind of stuff that we'd like to watch as consumers. And we realize that there are a lot of people like us. So hopefully we'll be able to sort of make something that's fun, exciting, and engaging.
But I suppose it must have helped with your background, though, the finance background, or not? Or did you have to start from scratch, basically?
I think it so the good thing about a creative business is it's extremely welcoming, you know, in the sense that you don't need a fancy degree or, you know, some sort of an education to be able to be creative or run a creative business. So, so that was nice. But yes, it does require a great deal of understanding regarding the nuances of whatever you try to create. I think, like I said, you know, our complementary skill sets worked well for us. And we learn from each other. Yes, knowing you know the nuances of business and understanding finance played some sort of a role, I would assume. But I think it's a combination of several factors, and I think most importantly, it's just being passionate about what you do and just making sure that you do it every day.
In terms of the business model,
so like I said, we operate across three verticals.
Yep.
The first vertical is Safari Studios, which is essentially a content studio business model. So what we do is we basically attach ourselves to a brand and build out a stream of content for them over the course of a time frame, whether it's 6 months or a year or a longer period than that. So typically, you know, we work with brands like Red Bull, Google, Estee Lauder, and Asian Paints, amongst many others. And what we do is we attach ourselves to them, build out their content strategy, come up with creative concepts and properties around that strategy, and then go ahead and execute and develop them. So that's typically the way in which we function. So it's sort of branded services business model, which is the first vertical. The second vertical, Post Office, is an animation studio, which kind of offers similar service related offering, but it's enabled with technology. So we create content at scale, and we also offer you know, the workflow automation processes and the proprietary processes that we're building to certain clients to be able to sort of create that content at scale. So the model is slightly different, but it's roughly similar. The third piece, which is the IP business, where we have, you know, properties like Shakaharis that we're developing, is a beast of its own, and it's a different revenue model or business model altogether. Here we're sort of investing in building out content first, and creating the product, and then trying to find distributors and partners who will be able to sort of grow and help us grow that product. So it's a slightly different business model with the IP business. But given the kind of scope and growth that the market has seen in the past couple of years in India, we're very, very confident that this might be a very scalable and robust opportunity in the next couple of years. And that's something that we're looking at, which is also sort of diversifying across revenue streams. So we're not too dependent on one specific business model per se.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So how do you go about balancing sort of like the creativity with, you know, making money? You know, the bottom line is, you know, of all businesses is to make money, but in terms of you've got to balance the creativity side of things as well.
It is difficult, but I think that comes down to your value system as an organization. And I think for us, we've always believed that our work brings in more work. So at the heart of whatever we do, it has to be a creative opportunity. And if it's not something that can allow us to create great work, we turn it down. So it's worked well for us because we've always been very conscious of making sure that we deliver great quality work, and that naturally has translated into more work. So the view has always been, do good work and follow your passion, and the money will follow. And I think I wouldn't say the money has followed in a massive way, but I think it will as time passes, and we're confident that it will. So I think creativity is the centerpiece of our approach. We always focus on making sure that it's good quality work, and then all the economics and structure around it tends to follow.
Good stuff. Looking back, you've done so many projects. What's been your favorite project? Anything that stands out?
Oh, there are quite a few. It's hard to sort of pinpoint the 450 of them. But yeah, I think a few more recent ones have been very exciting. I've been doing a lot of work in the culture space. I've been really sort of documenting what's happening in the amongst Indian subcultures in a lot of ways. And we did this one piece on the hip hop movement in India. We followed the life of one of India's fastest growing rappers, one of India's biggest rappers. This guy called Divine. We collaborated with Red Bull early last year, early 2018, and over about 18 months, we captured the life of Divine. Really sort of went deep into understanding, where he comes from, his perspectives, his family, his motivations, hopes, and dreams. And this was a documentary, a feature-length documentary that we sort of put together, which got aired on the Discovery Network earlier in July this year. It's a project that we're very proud of because it's really sort of, told an extremely inspirational story, and it talks about the life of this boy who's come out of nowhere from the slums of Bombay and has grown to become one of the biggest rappers in the country. But more importantly, it's also been the start of a huge movement of hip hop in India. So that's something I think that we're very, very proud of. We have a few more projects that we're sort of building out in this space that are going to be coming out in the next few months. So these are projects that we are pretty excited about, and a bunch of other things in the past as well, in shoppable content, in interactive content, VR that have been very exciting as well. So yeah, I think a lot of projects to be excited about, but I would say this Divine feature and documentary, it's on YouTube, you should check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's on Divine's channel. It's called Gully Life. And it's a very exciting story, and I'd love for you to check it out and give me your feedback.
What would you say the aims and objectives are over the next 3 years, say?
So I think for us, the entire landscape in the media has changed dramatically over the last few years. And what we're doing right now is just sort of reimagining the way it's going to be done in the next few years. So we've been sort of not only on the business side, but also on the creative side, experimenting extensively with newer ways of being able to see how people are going to be consuming content in the future. So whether it is Safari Studios and the content studio business model, which is essentially an evolution of how advertising is playing out in India, or it is Post Office using technology to enable creating content at scale, or even Kida, which is our original content division that's building out intellectual properties. We see us sort of reimagining the entire media landscape and the future of the media in India over the next 3 to 4 years. And that's basically what we're doing. We have another channel that we launched last year, which is a part of our original content division called Vitamins 3. It's looking to reshape the narrative for young women in India. We've done a bunch of interesting content properties under this particular umbrella. It's a YouTube channel. It's grown dramatically in the past 1 year. Our content is viewed close to about 1.5 million times a month. We've grown to about 110,000 subscribers on YouTube in the past year, and it's really sort of creating content. But and what's most exciting is that it's creating content that's really very, very meaningful to the community that's engaged with it. It's a very, very strong and engaged community of young women that find this stuff exciting, and that's the kind of thing that validates what we do every single day. The comments and the love we get from these people, and our consumers that are actually sort of engaged with us with the stuff we do. So that's basically what it is. It's basically trying to sort of find gaps and sweet spots where there's a need. And trying to sort of plug that with good quality, meaningful content and stories.
Interesting stuff. So obviously you mentioned YouTube. We have a lot of listeners who are probably starting out small to medium businesses or entrepreneurs, startups, etc. So how would they grow their content or their followers on YouTube? What tips would you give them?
For us, I think it's very intuitive. Like I said, as much as important as it is, I think being able to empathize with your consumer is very, very critical. So you got to think like the consumer, and you got to put yourself in the consumer's shoes. So the way in which we design content is, and the way the internet has become, it's not about you know, content being shoved down your throat or being pushed to you, but it's stuff that you really want to consume. I mean, your listeners today consume the content they do because they're interested in knowing about startups in this space or learning from startups in this space. And I think that that's because you're trying to fulfill a specific need. And for young businesses and entrepreneurs or content creators that are looking to sort of build a capability in the content landscape, whether it's on YouTube or in any other form, I think it's about trying to identify an interest point and being able to sort of serve that interest point with meaningful storytelling. And that's basically what we do. Whether it's young Indian women and the kind of content that needs to be consumed in that space, or the needs that they have, or it is Gen Y, Gen Z audiences that are looking to sort of consume animated content, or it is trying to sort of understand culture in India. Whatever it is, we're always trying to identify a need, and on the basis of the need, trying to tell interesting, unique, differentiated and meaningful stories to that audience. So to cut it short and make it easy, identify an interest point and serve that interest point with valuable content, which is around the territory you own. So if you're a business that's in the home decor space, then create content about home decor, not about your product. Don't sell your product, sell your values, sell your value proposition. And I think people will automatically sort of buy into that and then naturally sort of engage with you and be loyal to you.
Cool. Well, last few questions then. I'm interested to know what TV you watch then.
it's a mix of a bunch of things.
Okay.
As content creators, I think we're we love purpose driven content. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of some of the stuff that's been up on Netflix, Men They See Us, and a couple of other shows that are coming out. I watch a bunch of documentaries, and obviously I'm a big fan of animation as well. So I've grown up on The Simpsons and on other sort of shows like Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman, things like that. So it's a very wide list. I think I keep consuming all sorts of stuff. I can't pinpoint one specific genre per se, but I would say it's a combination of documentaries, animated content, films, of course, and purpose-driven TV shows.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we obviously got big streaming wars in India like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hotstar, YouTube, etc.
Yes.
Is there anyone, who's winning the battle, or is it too early to say?
It is very early to say. I think, there's a lot going on. I think what's good for us is that we are content creators who are really benefiting from this battle, because the pipe has been built and that pipe is dry. And what we're doing is essentially sort of plugging it in with content. The winner, I think, ultimately will be the consumer, because it's sort of giving them such a wide choice of good quality content. And that's what makes this whole landscape very exciting. It's hard to pinpoint one business model or one business that is per se going to win this game, because every market is very different and India is a beast of its own. So it's going to be difficult to say whether an ad-funded or a subscription-based model is the one that's ultimately going to rule the roost. But I think what's exciting is the fact that in all of this, the quality of storytelling has improved dramatically, and we're seeing great content out there, and that's what makes this very exciting.
How big's the team? Obviously, you started with two people. How big is it now?
So today we're a team of 60 people.
Okay. Is that what you expected when you first started? Do you think it was going to be?
I did not know which direction we were going to head in. I think we were just passionate about doing what we were doing. We found making videos exciting. And one video led to another, and here we are. So I think that it was more about just sort of creating something that we we enjoyed doing, and obviously found a way to pay the bills through that. But yeah, I think now it's grown into something substantial, and we are quite ambitious and think that we can sort of turn this into something that could be a large content studio in the country, making a great deal of impact someday.
And any books you want to recommend to our listeners?
Creativity Inc. By Ed Catmull, I think is a book that I read a few months ago, but still is something that resonates very, very strongly. I read a recent book, which was actually quite a it was more of a a business management oriented book called Measure What Matters by John Doerr, which talks about the OKR system that Google uses, which was also extremely useful from a business standpoint. So yeah, I think Ed Catmull for some inspirational storytelling on Pixar's journey, and Measure What Matters by John Doerr for just some basic principles on goal setting and achieving your objectives.
I've got an interesting question for you. Let's say you actually did the MBA. what would the future look like? What would you be doing right now?
Probably running a content company.
Okay.
I somehow feel I was destined to do this, and one way or the other, I would have probably ended up here. And I'm just glad I did it sooner than later.
Okay, cool, good stuff. What advice would you give our listeners and who wants to do something similar to what you're doing?
I think believe in your work. Get out of bed every morning and do the stuff that you're excited about. Otherwise, it's not worth doing what you're doing. So yeah, I think focus on the stuff that you enjoy, and you'll naturally find ways that can sort of pay for that.
Good stuff. Last question then. Ashley, is there anything that frustrates you? Anything you want to sort of get off your chest?
I mean, I think I'm in a relatively good space at this point in time. Yes, it is a challenge to run a business in India, and that can be quite frustrating from time to time. We are a difficult environment to run a young business out of, but I think that's what makes it exciting and an opportunity in itself. So yeah, no major complaints. It is a challenge, but we take it in our stride and we move along.
Because you mentioned earlier you had your brother getting issues with people taking him seriously. What advice did you give to those people then? Just starting out with no experience.
I think again, keep the faith. It's about sort of believing in what you do and finding that that belief. You will second guess that a bunch of times. I second guess it every day, even today. I think entrepreneurship is this beautiful thing where you have this unrelenting belief in something that you're passionate about, and that there's a reason for that. And if you do follow it and find ways to be able to sort of, practically run it, I think you've got something good that's going for you. So don't really sort of get bogged down by the naysayers that don't really take you very seriously, because sooner or later they'll come around, as long as you sort of have the conviction and belief and the ability to be able to sort of take your idea forward.
Mm-hmm. Last question then, for people who want more information about you and the company, what must they do? How do they get in touch?
I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, so I'm always accessible there. www.suparistudios.com. That's our email, our website, and obviously my email address is advait@suparistudios.com. So if you ever feel the need to reach out, happy to chat.
Advait, thank you for coming to the show today.
Thanks so much.
Much appreciated.
Absolute pleasure, and I hope you have a good one.
Thanks to Advait for coming on the show today, and go to suparistudios.com for more information. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@theopaltail.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.